might have one or two things that I came up with off a drill that I stole from someone else. But the guys that have been doing this for 20 plus years and have been doing it, but like they stole it from someone.
Yeah, of course.
We all steal everything.
Of course.
That's what the good coaches do. Where you did not reinvent the wheel. You didn't invent how to hit or catch or whatever. Especially at 9 and 10 years old. Those kids can barely control their bodies.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the world's favorite youth baseball podcast, Clearing the Bases, featuring Coach Jimmy Filangieri. I'm David Friedman. I want to thank you for coming along on this ride with us.
You can go up to Tim Corbett and have a 10-minute conversation. He's not going to tell you to go away.
Right.
Like, yeah, obviously, there's some timing and feel with it, but if he's walking by himself, he's going to take the time to introduce you.
Yes.
There's guys around here all the time, pro bowl guys, college guys, high school guys. Get to know guys. You walk into a conversation. They say it every year. Don't be afraid to say hi to people.
Here's another one of our good friends that we ran into at the convention, Jake Lindmeyer. Jake is from Dallas College, Brookhaven, and you'll hear in the show that I kind of screwed that up a little bit in the beginning, but Jake set me straight on that. So let's see what Jake has to say. We'll talk a little bit about what's new in the junior college world, how the team is doing this year, and, you know, lots more good stuff. So here's Jake. So it seems to be a common theme here that we run into old friends and old guests that were on the show, and Jake is no different. We have Jake Lindmeyer back, and he is, as you all know, because he was on last year, is from Brookhaven College.
Dallas College, Brookhaven.
Dallas College. I always screw that up. It's Dallas.
It changed about 3 years ago. So it was Brookhaven College. Now it's Dallas College, Brookhaven, because our entire conference is the same school, but we have six campuses that have athletics.
Okay. All right. So now at least I got that right. I won't screw that up again. So what's going on?
Enjoying the convention, not having to speak this year, getting to see old friends, checking out the new stuff in the convention center, and then getting to see speakers and having conversations as far as learning stuff from new guys, learning stuff from old friends, having just, you know how the conversation goes over beers, a little bit more fun than the formal and learning that stuff. So
I love it, right? Walking around, meet this guy, see that guy. Hey, I haven't seen you since last year. And you start talking and you wind up spending your whole time just having conversations. But that's the beauty of it.
So, absolutely. Like the group that you have here, especially with our group, like Anthony Pla, Zach Castell, Gabe Ortiz, that whole group, we walk around. We can't walk very far without knowing someone at this place. It feels so tiny. And that's what I love about this community.
Yeah, and it's funny because talking to you, Taylor Valentine was here. I was talking to Zach Castell before. I haven't run into Ply yet, but if I don't run into him, I'm going to text him and tell him, get your butt up here because you're coming back on.
I'll make sure he gets up here for you.
Yeah. So what's going on in the baseball world? How's the season shaping up? What's going on?
Everything's good so far. We had a good fall. I think we finished like 12-4 against outside competition. First spring going into it, I mean, knock on wood, but first spring that we've had, that my tenure there, 3 years, that we've had a full pitching staff be eligible and healthy. So
okay, that's important.
We're going in with our projected number ones and twos, actually going to pitch for us a little bit, and our hitters, the hitting's been great all fall. I think we got some big bats in the lineup. We're a little bit more mature, a little bit older this year as a junior college. Like it's fun for us. So I think we'll have a decent year. I'm excited.
Are you still feeling any effects from the COVID years? Or is that kind of like
so
past us?
Last year, I think, was the last effect that we really had as far as like the age difference. Like one of the teams at our conference, I refuse to name the name, but their average age is 21, a couple 22, 23-year-olds, and we're running 18, 19-year-old kids out there. It's a big jump.
Sure
like,
it is.
So it's tough for us to go compete against that, and it's not an excuse. We had to be better, and we weren't. But I think this year the talent is still better than it was previous to COVID just because of the trickle-down effect. But I think the age gap is a little bit better, so it's going to be a little bit more competitive at our conference.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, something that I've been on a kick lately is about, you know, making people understand how good a junior college route is to take.
Yeah, I mean, we're a D3 junior college, so we don't have scholarship money. But we have We've had 16, 17 guys already in the fall from our conference sign D1's letter of intent. So that opportunity for our conference to already have that, we haven't played a game that's meaningful yet, and it's just showing what the talent is in our area. And our non-conference games are against all the D1 JUCOs in the area. We played Paris, we played Tyler, North Central, Northeast, so we're playing all the top-level schools in our non-conference game, and then we get right into conference and go have to compete there. So the baseball down here is, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, and again, it's only because I think that people get a little bit, their view gets skewed a little bit, that they don't understand that junior college is good competitive baseball, okay? It's not like you go to a junior college, because I even heard people say, like, ridiculous things, like it's just an extension of high school. Well, no, it's not.
I mean, there's four-year programs that are an extension of high school. It depends on where you go. The top teams are always going to be the top teams, regardless of what level you go to. Obviously, the Power Fives, the top 25 of D1 baseball is normally king. But then you go look at the St. Thomas's in Miami, the Southeasterns, Georgia Gwinnett's. Like, you go look at the NAIA realm of those guys that can't get into those schools. That's a different beast. Like, you're going to find some pretty good talent across the board. The D2s, the Angelina that just won their D2 national championship. Go watch one of those games. Go tell me that baseball isn't good.
Yeah.
It's all about where you go. Everybody's going to have that one or two teams that are down in the year, down in the conference. There's going to be those top teams that kind of step up, but baseball's good. We have a 90, 92 mile an hour lefty.
Wow.
One of the teams in our conference has three or four guys that are touching nine. So, and we're D3 junior college. So you sit there and go, oh, yeah, we should be getting those 78 to 81s. And I laugh. I was like, I would love to be able to take one of those kids and give him a chance to play college baseball, but he's not going to compete in our conference.
Right, right. And that's the part that I was making reference to. Yeah. They don't think that there are guys at the junior college level that are throwing 90-plus. Yeah. You know, they think that, like you said, the 78, 81s guys.
And now, granted, I take that. Like, if the kid's going to throw strikes and he's going to be 78 to 81, he can be a one-inning guy for us. He can get outs and he can be serviceable. But as far as getting a ton of innings and being able to do that, it's different. Guys are stronger, faster. I mean, the average size on our roster right now is 5'10 to 6', and 180 to 200 pounds. Like, yeah. You have to go compete. We've got a couple guys that are 6'2, 6'3, 230, and they can hit. Like, they're going to drive the ball out of the ballpark. And our conference, it's a race to 15. We always laugh. Like, if we could have an ERA of 6, we're going to win 35 games because we can hit. Yeah. And once you get into college, like, yes, you need to have a secondary pitch, but if you're only throwing 82, 84, like, you better be able to command it, because that goes over the middle of the plate. You're going to get hit really hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other thing, too, that I and correct me if I'm wrong, but your coaching staff is you and another coach.
So this year we luck out. One of our assistants is actually here. We actually have four guys on staff this year.
Wow, good.
And that's not normal. There's a couple conference rivals that have two guys on staff. There's a couple that have four. We luck out. We get to play with a former coach that we competed against when me and our head coach played at Jarvis. He was our head coach's first, like, our head coach played for him. He played for, or then he coached with him, and then he coached against him. So we've known him since our playing days.
Wow.
And he came to us, and he's like, I want to still be involved in it. I can't be there every day, but I want to help. And he's been a huge help to us, and just having another mind, a little bit older mind, that can help us and kind of guide us through some stuff and maybe some other stuff as far as, like, the office and learning how to manage a roster, manage a college system, and that type of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that comes into it. And then we have a pitching guy that came in, played at Lynn down in Boca, and then he coached at Ranger College last year, and he's been very helpful as far as the pitching goes, because I was named our pitching coach before he came in.
Okay.
And I was a catcher. I had the experience working with pitchers. I can manage the pitchers, but as far as the meticulous mechanics and stuff, when we want to go into mechanic weeks where we're talking about, like, hey, we got to do this, I can teach it, I can do it, but having someone that's been through it at the college level, at a high level at Lynn, it's just adding to it. So we have two guys working with pitchers, two or three guys working with hitters and position players. So we have a really good staff this year, and it's exciting to have.
Yeah. Yeah, because and what size roster do you have?
So this fall we had 67 to start, and it sounds crazy, and you hear the horror stories of that, but when you really think about it, we're playing 18 innings straight on Wednesdays. We're playing again Friday, maybe Saturday, inner squad. So you're going to have 30, 35 arms, and we're not going to wear them out. We're not going to throw a guy 5 innings in the fall. There's no reason to.
Right.
So they're going to throw their 2 to 3, 1 to 2 days a week. If they're a starter, they're going to throw their 1 to 2 as a reliever 2 days a week. Get used to pitching a couple days a week. We got them off the mound a little bit more in bullpens and stuff. So you're looking at 35 guys, and then you go have 30 position players. Well, you need catchers to catch them. So you bring in 4 to 5, and then it creates competition.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love to think that I can create our 40-man roster that we're going to carry in the spring, and everybody's going to stay healthy and pass grades and do that, but it's not realistic. So we have to bring in, I would like to bring in 50 and create a 1 to 2, 3, maybe 3 competition type thing for the fall, and then we can roll into the spring with our guys, but when we're trying to play, there's 18 guys on the field at all times, right? You're going to have, if you just had the same 9 guys hit on both teams, there's 18 hitters, and then you have 18, or let's say we play a 7-inning game, well, there's 14 innings of work.
Yeah.
So 35 guys are getting work in that day.
Yeah.
So you're going to get time.
Right.
Guys are getting their work. We're rolling through, and we had them split this year because we had the luxury of being junior college and being able to be on the field a little bit longer than the D1s with the hours and the even D3s and D2s with the hours. We can be out there with them as long as we wanted. So we'd split them up where the pitchers would come in at 9, get their throwing done, their stretching, their band work, all that. And then we would get them through their stuff on the field so they could do PFPs on the field. They could do everything while the position players are warming up at 10. And they're going through their prep stuff, and by the time they want to roll at 10:45, 10:11, our pitchers have gotten all their work in.
Right.
And with 30 guys, you don't need pitchers sitting in the outfield trying to be the next Ken Griffey. So you're going to sit there and watch one of your pitchers go down because he ran into a metal wall because he wanted to go show he can play outfield still. So we just sent him home. Hey, you got your work in.
Yep.
Go take care of your classes. Go worry about everything else. But you were out there for 2 hours, plus your weight room. You got everything you needed that day. I don't need you to sit out here any longer than you have to. And I think guys stayed healthier that way.
Yeah.
And there was more intent. I mean, 3 hours out there is a long time for an 18 to 20-year-old.
And yes.
It's the norm. But for a position player, it's different. Because you got to work hitting. You got to work fielding. You got to work base running, throwing. You got to do all of that. Pitchers need to be able to throw, keep guys from stealing on them, and field the occasional bunt or ball back.
Yeah.
Right? They got to cover first base. So they don't have as much to do, so they don't need to be out there. I get the concept of making them be out there and sit because they might be an eighth inning guy where they got to sit through 2 hours of a game and then they got to go warm up and do all that. But in a practice setting, I want them to have their focus. So, you know what, they can be a little bit screwy in the dugout and have their fun. But then, hey, you know what, when it's my time to work, I get my work done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. You know, like you said, you know, as far as hitters, we'll use this as an example. Okay. So some guys like will have their hitters go into cages and hit early in the morning. Right. So they do their thing and then they're done with it. And then, you know, we'll see you for your field work later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that's actually a great way of doing it because, again, carrying that many guys is difficult. But the reason why I brought it up is, you know, and I was talking to somebody else, I don't remember who was on earlier today about it, and I was saying that, you know, at the youth level, you're managing 12 kids, 13 kids. You know, it's not insurmountable. Be prepared, plan. Again, your plans don't have to be elaborate.
No.
And go to work.
I coached a 9U team in 2021, and we did a fun warm-up. It wasn't just the static stretching, like lines. We'd run around the field. We'd play tag, like get them moving a little bit. 9 years old, try and keep them engaged. Then we'd play catch and do some long toss stuff. And then we started every practice with the box drill. Split up everybody equally at bases, and we have to go 20 times around one way, 20 times around the other. And they loved it. They'd get competitive. Sometimes it would take us 30 minutes. Sometimes it would take us one time around, and we'd be done with it in 5 minutes. and they saw the importance of catch play, which is huge. And then we'd have three stations for infield drills or outfield drills, or we'd have two stations for infield, one for outfield. So everybody's working everything. You're in groups of four. I had a couple dads helping me, showed them the drills I wanted them to do. We do 10 minutes and rotate, get them through, and then hitting. We'd have three stations. We'd have a plyo ball station trying to get them to drive through a ball. We'd have them in the cages actually working some mechanics, and then we'd put them all at second base and throw them tennis balls and have them try and hit the ball out of the ballpark.
There you go.
Make it fun.
Absolutely.
Right? And the more that you can make it fun, base running drills, have a group at second base or a group at third base and first base across the diamond from each other and do relay races. You have to get around the bases as fast as you can. Your team's a six. Team to win doesn't have to do something. Or you go 1v1 and make guys bet on each other and make a little bit of a competition.
Sure.
And, I mean, the more that you can make kids compete and have fun competing, the more they're going to want to do drills.
Yeah. And I've always said that in my coaching career, I've always struggled with that. I've always struggled with how to make practices competitive. Okay, I've gotten better because of listening to guys like you and like what you brought up and, you know, other coaches that I've talked to, I've gotten better at it. But yeah, it's not easy. Coaches need to know that you do have to work and be creative.
Yeah.
You know, be creative. You can make stuff up and it'll be fun.
Yeah, and for me, like, funny you say, for me, I might have one or two things that I came up with off a drill that I stole from someone else. But the guys that have been doing this for 20 plus years and have been doing it, but like they stole it from someone.
Yeah, of course.
We all steal everything.
Of course.
That's what the good coaches do. Where you did not reinvent the wheel. You didn't invent how to hit or catch or whatever. Especially at 9 and 10 years old. Those kids can barely control their bodies. And they have the attention span of a raisin. They don't want to be there sometimes, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's funny the way you just said that, because I put together our a presentation for my high school team where we're going to go over John Wooden's pyramid of success. Okay, I started off with saying what you just said, is that good coaches learn or steal things from others. I said, when you first went to school and a teacher taught you that 2 + 2 = 4, okay, you learned that from, so you stole that from the teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same thing. I'm taking Coach Wooden's pyramid of success and we're going to break it down and we're going to understand. Like you said, I stole it from him.
And I like to think I have a good grasp on what we're teaching in the catching world and what we're trying to do. But I don't want to push my views, right? I have my views. I have my ideas. But I found it working, especially working with high school kids, 16, 18, and then junior college kids. They have it all figured out. They know what they're doing. They know what they want to get better. And Twitter's a fantastic world that they can go look at any hitting instructor in the world and say, that's how I want to hit.
But wait a minute. Are you being sarcastic or
no.
You're being serious?
No. And you can ask any of my lesson kids, and I'll give you their numbers, like, to talk to them. I have my beliefs. I have my beliefs in what I do with my kids. But I'm never going to force them to do something they don't believe in, because they're going to do it half-heartedly. They're not going to do it. They're going to say, okay, I'll do it that way, coach, to make you happy. And then at the end of the day, when they're working on their own, they're going to do what they want. Now, I can influence them to do what I want, but I'm never going to say, you have to do it my way.
Well,
certain situations, obviously, like we're going to have our set procedures and characteristics of like culture. We're going to have our culture stuff, and we'll have like our team beliefs as far as if we're going to play small ball that year, we got a couple guys that can bang and we can let them hit a little bit. We'll let them do that. But as far as the swing goes, if you look at a 18-year-old kid and you look at his 9U swing, it's only gotten stronger. There's probably still some characteristics that he's done for a really long time, and it's really hard to coach them out of it. But if he's had success with that, why am I going to take that away from him?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And I feel the same way about it, especially with hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because again, in the high school world, I only get them for a few months. I'm not going to change anything mechanical, okay? What I will do is give them, you know, my take on, you know, your head can't move.
Yeah.
You can't do that. I don't care what you're doing to barrel the ball up or what you're doing to get to the baseball. That's fine.
And I laugh.
Don't move your head.
I laugh because the catching world is so tight-knit, and it's so open-formatted, and we can talk about X, Y, Z, about what I believe versus what you believe, and there's no hard feelings there. We'll say, I don't believe what you believe, and we can have that conversation where, as the pitching world, or, I mean, everybody knows how bad the hitting world is right now. I mean, hitting Twitter is awful, but if a kid wants to stand on his one leg and swing with his hand switched, and he's going to hit 350 for me, I'm not going to tell him no. Like, but when he starts failing, that's when we might have to make some adjustments.
Right.
But if the kid's going to hit, the kid's going to hit.
Yeah.
Like, we have a freshman on our team right now who's probably going to end up being our starting center fielder. He's got a hitch in his swing, and I hate it. But he's got the fastest hands in the world. Like, even when we're facing 90-plus, he'll get beat every once in a while. But he has success.
Successful.
He hits. He does things, and that hitch is ugly. But you can't stop it because that's going to take too long to fix for a guy that we're only going to have two, max of 3 years. And he's having success. So why am I going to dome a kid up who has had success?
Right, right. I agree with that. And again, it's something that coaches, because I was guilty of it too when I was younger, you know, trying to impress people with what you know. Okay, I'm gonna work on this, and I'm gonna work. Well, no,
yes.
You know, you don't need to do all of that stuff. You need to know what needs attention and what doesn't.
And I've found for me, like, as soon as you get a kid to believe that you have their best interest in mind, that you actually care about them, that they're gonna have a voice with you, it's going to take off, and you can tell them to do whatever you want. But I'll mess with my lessons and hitters and catchers that I work with. I'm going to tell them to do the wrong stuff just to see if they're saying yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Because I want you to have a voice in this. So if you don't think this is right, and I don't have the why, like Blanchard talked about it last night in the rookie mentorship meeting, if you can't tell the why of what you're doing, you shouldn't be teaching it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
big part of it.
And I like doing it for fun and messing with guys as far as, like, okay, I want you to spread out a little bit, and I want you to dump and drive. And if they don't ask me why, I'm going to make them take 5-6 swings and say, how does that feel? And if they tell me good and they haven't barreled up a ball, I said, you're lying to me. Why? Why are you trying to please me?
Right. Right, so basically you don't want yes men.
No, it's not my career anymore. I'm done playing. Like, I'll go catch bullpens for guys when they need it because we don't have a catcher around. But at the end of the day, I don't ever want to step in the box again. I have no aspirations to do that.
Right.
I want to watch kids have better careers than I did. I don't want them to be a college player. I want them to have the chance at pro ball. I want them to go to a higher school than me. I want them to do things that I couldn't do.
Right.
And I have no problem with my ego saying, like, hey, I wasn't good. I could catch, I couldn't hit. I had slider bat speed, and that's what it was.
Right.
But I can teach it.
Right.
And I can teach you to be better to me. I can tell you what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And the more that I think having that access to guys that have played at a higher level than me and coach at a higher level than me has helped me tremendously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if all of your understudies are going higher than you and playing higher than you and doing something, you're probably doing something right.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want our guys to be a platoon catcher at the NAI level. I want our guys to be the dude at the NAI level. I want our guys to be the dude at the D1, D2 level. But I want them to find their fit. And that's one of the things that I did do right, is I found my fit and where I went to school, and I wouldn't trade my time for the world.
Awesome.
I have friends that I'd go back and do it the exact same way. Because I have friends from every school I played at. I still keep in contact with a couple of them. I coach with one of them now.
Yeah.
So if you can find the fit that makes sense for you, you're going to have success. And it goes back to, if that kid doesn't believe in what he's doing, he's not getting better. She's not getting better.
Right. They should be. You know, it's like, you know, I've heard it said a million times, and you just alluded to it. You want to be questioned. I mean, I want kids to ask me questions. I, you know, hey, coach, why are we doing that? I love explaining it, you know, and that's something, again, too, that, you know, I've worked to get better at, is explaining before we do something. Okay, guys, we're going to do this, this, and this. This is the reason. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I want to see. And then go and do it.
Absolutely.
You know, the more that we can explain things to them, the better off we're going to be.
You couldn't hit it better on the head. Yeah. I love the aspect of if I could have played professional baseball, I would have. But I wasn't good enough. But I've worked with enough guys that have gotten the opportunity to do it, and I've gotten to pick their brain. I've coached summer ball, so I know a little bit of what that grind looks like. I look at kids and go, are you willing to work that hard? Are you willing to be on the diamond at 11 a.m. for a 7 o'clock game?
Right.
Are you willing to be on the field 6 days a week? Do you understand what that feels like? Do you understand what, hey, we're going to go do early work, we're going to have some field work, we're going to go take BP, you're going to get off your feet for a little bit, you're going to go grab food, and now you got to go buy into a 9-inning game in the middle of July when you've already played 70.
Right.
Like, can you handle that?
Can you handle that? Yeah.
So.
But, you know, like you were saying about, you know, everybody's playing days, right? So, if only the guys, okay, who played at the very high levels were able to coach, we wouldn't have a lot of coaches because not a lot of guys get to play. So, I've always felt that it doesn't really matter when you stopped playing. It really doesn't. It matters how intent are you at being a good coach, regardless of anything.
I would agree to that. I think the guys, and this is where it gets skewed. You can't take away from a guy that stepped in the box against Randy Johnson, any of those guys, big leaguers that took the time that made it, right? Those guys will always have a place in baseball if they are willing to buy into new concepts. They don't have to fully buy into it, but they have to be willing to have the conversation. And the guys that do buy in, Jerry will be on later in your podcast. Jerry's been in this game for, what, 60 years?
Yeah.
He was old school. He still has some old school thoughts. He's still in the game because he's bought into the new school. He's let new voices come in, taken from here and there, and tried to do new things.
Right.
He still has his beliefs. He had his career. Everybody knows it. And you can't take that away from guys. And I will never say that a big leaguer can't teach you something.
No, I agree.
But again, I never played it, but I've been able to have those conversations. And if I hadn't had those conversations with guys that were willing to talk to the nobodies, I wouldn't be able to coach as well as I do.
Right. But the one thing I will say is that guys that played at very high levels, and again, somebody was on earlier I talked about this with, they have a hard time teaching, okay? Only because it came to them naturally, okay? So they didn't need to be taught that much. And when they try and teach you something, they don't understand why you can't necessarily do what they're asking you to do.
Yeah, and that's where the coaches like me come into play, where it's like, I couldn't do it, but I can understand what you were trying to do, and I can get that word to the next kid.
Right. You could frame it so the kid understands it better.
But, yeah, it's one of those situations is can you be able to teach it to this year's group? And what we teach to this year's group is different than what we taught to last year's group, which is different than we taught to the previous year's group. And if you're going to try and make... It's different at the college level. You're inheriting kids every year. You don't get to pick your team. You get a new group every year.
Right.
You graduate 5 seniors. Well, 5 sophomores are going to have to step up.
Right.
Well, in that situation, they have to buy into what you do. But that's where your JV and freshman coaches, they have to buy into what you do as well.
So important.
But at the same time, if you got 5 sophomores that are going to hit a ton their senior year, let them hit.
Yeah.
Your senior that was a 150, 5'7", but he could handle the stick really well and hit a couple singles a month, you might play small ball with him.
Yeah.
If you've got a 6'2 freshman coming in that learns his body a little bit over a year, if you're bunting with him, like, it better be a key situation that you need that guy to move on because he can put a ball in the gap and score it anyways. So, it's really a situation of learning who you have, what you have, and that.
Always about that, you know, what's coming, like you said. And again, with the new program, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, we're all going to be together, okay? Because I want the freshman and the sophomore to know what I'm teaching so that they get 4 years of that.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, it's all about trying to build this program.
Exactly. So. And the more that you can get people to buy in, if you have that upperclassman buy-in, it's very easy to get the freshman sophomore buy-in. You're going to have success at some point in time. Someone's going to join you, and you're going to put together a 12, 13-man roster that they're going to believe. Even going into 9U, if you keep the same 8 kids for 4 years, when they're 12 and they have 4 new teammates, those 4 teammates are going to buy in because they want to be part of that 8. And that's the part of buy-in that no one really talks about is, okay, it doesn't have to be your upperclassman. It doesn't have to be the captain. If that freshman buys in and can hold your senior accountable, if that...
How great is that?
That new teammate that comes in and says, that wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
If you have kids that are willing to do that and look in the mirror and say, I got to do it too...
I'm very lucky because there's several kids that go to that school that I coached in travel baseball, so they already know me.
Exactly.
And I could hear it being said now, okay, when they get to the field, that they'll look at other players and say, we don't do that here.
And it's funny for me because I just talked with Travel Org a couple weeks ago on how to get prepared for high school baseball. 13, 14-year-olds, how do you get ready to go to high school? Well, does your high school coach know your name? You're a 7th, 8th grader. You know where you're going to high school. Go watch a practice. Go watch a game. Go introduce yourself to the coach. Hey, coach, I'm coming here in the next 2 years. Can I get to know you? Do you guys have any camps going on? Do you have anything that I can be a part of to understand how you work? You think that's not going to impress the high school coach that you have a 13, 14-year-old asking to do that? You want to get in front of them. You want to be a part of the culture. Go ask if you can sit in the dugout and be their bat boy for Friday night games.
The first thing I did when I was hired is I set up clinics. And they're actually January 13th and 20th for 7th and 8th graders to come in. Get to know the coach.
And
I'm here. Talk to me.
And the good ones aren't afraid to talk.
Right.
If I know I have a chance to get you at the college level, and I developed that relationship with you at 14, 15, and we start working together because you want to do a lesson with me or whatever, I'm going to make you, to my best ability, better than our program. I don't want you to come play for me. I'd love to have you, but I think I'd be mistreating you if I'm just grooming you and saying, you're only going to be good enough to come play for me.
Good point.
I've had probably 10 catchers in the last year from anything, from Army. We got a couple junior college guys. I've worked with guys from all over the country. If you're only good enough to come to me, I think I did you a disservice. Because I want you to be a D1 junior college kid. I want you to be a D1 athlete, a D2 athlete that are going to play on scholarship. I want that for you.
Right. Well, it's like we always say, right? We want to coach them for the next level or the next two levels.
And that's one of my mottos as a coach is I never want to be a kid's last coach.
Right.
If I didn't put you past me, I didn't do good enough.
I agree with that. I do. So. Yeah. All right. Well, listen.
You know we can talk for hours.
I was just going to say, I could go on and on and on and on. And that's, again, it's one of the beauties of this is that, I've said this on every interview I've done. You build relationships. You think about it, right? 2 years ago, I didn't even know who you were. Now I'm walking down the hall. Hey, there's Jake. Hey, Jake, how are you? You know what I mean? It's a wonderful thing, and we could all talk baseball.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful thing about ABCA and everybody here is you can go up to Tim Corbett and have a 10-minute conversation. He's not going to tell you to go away.
Right.
Obviously, there's some timing and feel with it, but if he's walking by himself, he's going to take the time to introduce you.
Yes.
There's guys around here all the time, Pro Bowl guys, college guys, high school guys. Get to know guys. Just walk into a conversation. They say it every year. Don't be afraid to say hi to people. Don't be afraid to go talk to someone new. And I love coming to this because now I got first-year guys that I've met throughout the course of the year that are coming, and they want to hang out, and then I get to introduce them to friends, and then they run into an old friend, and then we have a mutual connection, so we start talking, and then all of a sudden you leave here and you met 100 to 200 new people because you took the time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is.
Speaking of Tim Corbin, here he comes walking.
Yeah, he's actually doing a show with Walter right next to me. So, yeah, it's a wonderful fraternity. I love this. And, again, great to be able to see you again.
Absolutely.
We'll stay in touch. And hopefully it's not always a year between when we see each other.
Well, if we make the World Series, we'll be up in New York this year. So hopefully we make
it. So make the damn World Series.
That's the goal. So hopefully the Bears make the trip up to New York and we can come see and show you a good time. So.
That'd be great. Thanks, Jake. I appreciate it.
You know, I like that we ended on talking about relationships because, really, you know, you've heard me say it a million times. It's really all about the relationships that you build. We all need to understand that these relationships that we build are only going to make us better coaches. There is so much knowledge that you can get from having conversations about baseball with, you know, coaches of all different levels, youth coaches, travel coaches, college coaches, high school coaches. Everybody's willing to share. And I'm glad that we ended on that note because I kind of want to hammer that home that you got to build relationships. You got to get together with like-minded people that are willing to grow the game and want to help each other out to become the best that we can be. I hope that you're enjoying these episodes that we recorded at the convention. And look, you're in a place where there's, I forget, like 8,000 coaches. And every one of those coaches in there understand that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you on the next one.